Welcome to the Revitalize Woman podcast with Dr. Brenda Heineke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Welcome back to another episode of the Revitalize Woman podcast. I'm Dr. Brenda Heineke, and today I have all of us PTs here at Revitalize sitting down, and we are going to talk all about pelvic floor and a little bit more about us so you can get to know us. So really quick, if you haven't listened to some of the other podcast episodes or aren't aware, a little bit of background about me is that I graduated from physical therapy school from Northwestern University with my doctorate, and then became a pelvic floor specialist shortly after that. I also have a strength and conditioning certification, and am the founder of Revitalize. So I have the other three awesome PTs that work here at Revitalize. I'm gonna let them all kind of introduce themselves, and then we're gonna start talking, answering some of your questions and just talking pelvic health. But I just wanted to say that we have such a great team here, and I really love having these other ladies to work with on a daily basis. So we're super fortunate to have such a great team. But I'm going to let them introduce themselves and quit talking.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Jenny. I am a pelvic floor physical therapist. I graduated from Marquette University with my doctorate in physical therapy. And I learned more about the pelvic health specialty while I was still in school, and just thought it was so interesting and such an awesome group of people to work with, where you can really, you know, make an impact in their life. So it's been really awesome working here at Revitalize and getting to do that.
Hi, I'm Dr. Megan. I am also a pelvic floor physical therapist. I graduated with my doctorate from UW-Madison, and I've really enjoyed working in this setting because I think it's something people don't know a lot about, and I love the opportunity to educate not only myself but my patients on different areas of their body that they might not know much about.
Hi everybody, I'm Dr. Molly Platt. I'm a pelvic physical therapist here at Revitalize. I graduated from Marquette University as well, so went to the same school as Jenny, a few years apart, but I am super excited to be on the podcast today and really, really enjoy working with this population of patients. I think oftentimes during pregnancy and postpartum, there's a lot of focus on the baby, and which is great, don't get me wrong, but there's also kind of a lack of focus sometimes on the mother and making sure she's taken care of as well. So I'm excited to work in this specialty for that reason.
Yeah, awesome. I feel like we all kind of bring something a little bit different to the table with our patients and our approaches. But we all also have a lot of similarities, which is why we have a lot of the same clothing options here. And we start dressing alike the more that we work with each other. So I wanted to, we kind of put out some questions to get from our audience. And so one of the questions that we got that I thought was really great was, how do we learn as pelvic floor PTs, and how does that happen? Do you use vagina models? And I kind of had to laugh a little at that, but then I thought, what a great question. And so for those that aren't super aware, to be a pelvic floor PT takes a lot of additional training, coursework. We really don't get this in school. I know it's a little bit different. Like Dr. Jenny, you actually got to take an elective during school. I had like a 1 hour lecture during one of my classes. I think that was the extent of my exposure in school. So it is something extra. We don't really come out of school really having that skill set. But yeah, I guess, who wants to answer that question?
I certainly can. You get to know the coworkers that you work with really well, and the people that you attend the continuing ed classes with. So there's courses that usually are a weekend long that kind of go, and based off your skill level, you know, kind of you learn new skills or beginning level skills. But a lot of the learning comes in when you're practicing with said coworkers and just really like getting your rhythm down for your examination and all that kind of stuff, and getting more comfortable with treating this area because it can be a little nerve-wracking in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my first class, so I guess in short, no, there are no vagina models. We play patient and we play therapist when we go to class. And so, actually at the time of this recording right now, so Dr. Molly and Dr. Megan are actually doing their first class this weekend. They've been trained, but sending to a formal, course with other clinicians will be a first for them. And I know, Jenny, your experience was a little bit different, but mm-hmm. for me, my first time going to class was my very first exposure to really any kind of pelvic floor PT. So I knew going into it that, like, you have to trade off and play both. And I think a lot of people are very nervous going into it. And I just remember being in a room of, like, 50 people, and they were like, okay, like, here's a sheet, hop up on a table, one of you, like, you know, partner up, one of you get undressed, hop up there, and you're like, okay. And then they're like, okay, now just get rid of your sheets, like, you guys need to get comfortable seeing vaginas, and you no longer have any modesty as a pelvic floor PT, is kind of what they told us. So we didn't really get any of that to kind of safeguard, if you will. But I think it also, I don't know if you agree, like, I think it makes you better, too, that you're able to kind of practice it and also have it done to you, because I think it helps, at least for me, it helps me learn better and also allows you to kind of, like, put yourself in your patient's shoes, because you know kind of what they're experiencing and what's going through their mind doing it. I kind of want to hear from, like, Megan and Molly, because they both were, like, trained by me and Dr. Jenny when they came on board here. So, like I said, they're going to class this weekend with, like, 50 of their closest friends. Actually, no, I take it back, because you guys are doing online. Mm-hmm. So their learning experience was basically getting to learn on all of us. We're a real tight-knit group here. So, do you guys want to talk a little bit about your experience?
Sure. I would say, in terms of, like, learning the anatomy and kind of, like, what you're working with, my mind always goes back to cadaver lab in physical therapy school. I'm a very visual learner and hands-on, and so I kind of think back to those days and thinking, okay, what part of the body am I in? What structures sit there? And I kind of, like, am starting in that way and realizing, oh, you know, in cadaver lab, we didn't really cover the pelvic floor muscles. So one thing that's helpful is not necessarily, like, a model that we practice doing pelvic floor treatment on, but there is a visual model of the pelvis that you've probably seen before if you've been in our clinic, but it is a bony structure. It's a plastic form of the pelvis with the bony structures, the muscles. There are other options that you can get that actually have, like, the organs that you can put into the pelvic floor and the pelvic bowl. So that's one way for me personally. I feel like I can really learn the anatomy well, because I can see it and, like, kind of put my hands on the actual model. And then for me, it allows me to visualize it when I'm actually working with a patient. So I'm kind of in my mind, okay, here I am, I'm on the obturator, and then I kind of move my finger and go on ilio, and you kind of just realize where your hand or your finger, like where your digit is in space, correlates with where it would be if you were looking at the model right in front of you. So I find that to be extremely helpful. And then like any other muscles that you study in physical therapy school, you look on a piece of paper and you have your origins and your insertions. And so learning that way as well is just something that kind of helps you like organize from something that's 2D in nature to something that's 3D in nature.
Yeah, I just have to laugh because as we're learning in PT school, we're so used to practicing on each other. That's just how we all learn, and no one bats an eyelash at it. And it's the same with other physical therapists, their continuing education courses. You're practicing on other PTs. And so when I tell my other classmates that I went to school with about how we're practicing, everyone thinks it's kind of crazy that we practice on each other. Well, it's really no different. It's just a little bit more of a sensitive body area, and you just kind of get used to it, I think, as you go. The first time's a little nerve-wracking, like they were saying, but just do what you got to do, and it just keeps getting easier every time.
And I feel like you can learn a lot about yourself in the process too. Like having my first pelvic floor exam, I'm thinking, oh yeah, I kind of guessed that maybe I would be tight there, or that would be more tender. But until it's actually done to you, you don't really know what you're in for.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely an experience. But you know, that being said, like, I think it's nice for our patients to know that, like, everything we're doing, like, we've had it done to us, like, we know what it feels like, what it's like just on the table, all of that. So
I think it helps too, like, understanding more what they're feeling or what they're trying to describe, because for any of you that have had pelvic floor PT, sometimes it's a weird sensation, and you know, you can't quite put it into words, but being like, oh no, I know what you mean, because I've also had that done to me. Yes. So that's helpful.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, to some degree, it almost gives us an advantage as physical therapists versus, you know, someone in the medical field as an OBGYN. You know, they typically don't go to continuing ed where they're playing, you know, the patient role as well. Like, a lot of times they'll bring in community volunteers for that, at least to my understanding. So I think to some degree it gives us a little bit of an advantage to be able to connect with our patients with that, for sure. Okay, moving on. Next question is, what is one thing that we wish as physical therapists that our patients knew? So I'm going to let Dr. Jenny talk about that one first.
All right. So I think with this that it's important that our patients know that we don't care if you've shaved, showered, any of that stuff. I think a lot of people come in and, again, are nervous because they don't, you know, this isn't as comfortable for them as it is for us. And so they're very concerned about how they look or how they smell or anything. And we're not, that's not what we're looking for. We're focused on a very different set of, you know, things going on. So I think just come as you are, and it does not matter, and you don't need to try and impress us or anything.
Yeah, right. God.
I would say one thing I'd want my patients to know, and this is even just for me personally, talking to a couple of my closest girlfriends that have received pelvic PT, is that it's kind of okay to just say what you want to say at the time. A couple of my friends have kind of indicated to me, well, yeah, all of a sudden I started talking about this, and then I was crying, and then I'm talking about this, and I'm all over the place, and I think my therapist thought I was crazy. And I just would say I really would want my patient to know, whatever you say, it is a safe space. It's very comfortable atmosphere. You don't have to be concerned or worried about what anybody will think of you here. we've all dealt with very personal issues in our own lives, so we understand kind of wherever you're at in that process and wherever you're coming from. Just know that you should feel comfortable and safe no matter what you end up discussing with us here while you're at your therapy sessions.
And nothing is TMI.
Yeah.
No. Like, no. So many people start off their sentence with, okay, this might be TMI, but it's like never.
Yeah, never. Yep. It's never TMI. And we probably ask some of those questions that pushes that boundary or might be perceived to push that boundary, but all with a very specific purpose.
Yeah, so I think that this patient population, there are a lot of issues that often go untreated because there are things that people think are just super normal. And one phrase we use all the time is that just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. And so I think I want people to know, I want women to know that it's okay to seek treatment for things like leaking or pelvic pain, things like that. You don't just have to accept it and live with it. There are things that you can do about it. And I think that's super important for people to know.
Yeah, and I think I agree with everyone. Mine kind of ties in a little bit with what Dr. Jenny said, but that, what is normal is a really wide range when you're talking about pelvic floor, pelvic health. I think a lot of times people are maybe really worried or embarrassed, like, is this normal? Am I normal? Like, is my anatomy normal? And I think it's really helpful to know that there's like such a wide range of what your anatomy is, like probably anywhere in the body, like this is where there's the most variation. And so I think some people can get self-conscious about that, but it's all within that range of normal. And you know, we've kind of seen it all, dealt with it all, and there's nothing wrong per se. I think sometimes people have been told that or have this image in their head of like what things should look like or what it should be like, and that's, I feel like, a very common misrepresentation. So the other question I want to ask too that we got is, what is one of the more surprising treatment approaches or something that we wouldn't necessarily think to be an aspect that we will address when we're working with someone that has a pelvic floor issue?
I think fascia is just one of the most crazy things out there. For those of you who don't know, fascia is just this connective tissue that is one of the layers between like your muscle and your skin, and it should kind of help to reduce friction and make movement smoother and all that. But a lot of times, and for so many different reasons, it gets tight in certain areas, and the fascia in your body is just like one giant piece. So you can get tightness in one place that can show up anywhere else, honestly. So that whole treatment approach in general and just the whole concept of it really blew my mind when I first learned it and continues to blow my mind. I've had a lot of success with patients just working on that, even though it seems kind of like an indirect approach to pelvic floor. That's been pretty interesting.
Well, and just knowing how like that whole fascial sheet like basically comes right in and becomes like a part of everything too is like, for me, mind-blowing.
Right, and then like fixing something in the fascia then can help the muscle contract more appropriately, you know. So it's interesting because if you treat the fascia, you actually can help treat the muscle dysfunction as well, by not even really putting your hands on the muscle. I would say the other part about pelvic PT treatment that is kind of somewhat surprising is just how important breathing is during movement, or even to facilitate relaxation. Just think about all of the tasks you might do in any given day and not even realize that you're subconsciously holding your breath, or there's not the accurate coordination between your pelvic floor and your breathing, and you're having these issues that you're dealing with, you're not knowing why, and something as simple as breathing can be kind of the main cause of the issues that you may be experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I agree with that. I was going to say it's surprising to me to learn how much posture plays a role in the pelvic floor. You know, you think about posture playing a role in people with neck pain, back pain, things like that. Posture is the first thing you think about. But that even goes down to the pelvic floor. How you're sitting or standing can alter the muscles and put them in more of a lengthened position, a shortened position. And even beyond pain, that can affect things like incontinence and prolapse. It's something you wouldn't think to address first, but it definitely plays a role. For sure.
Yeah, and actually, when I was in PT school, I feel like that was almost what made me the most interested about pelvic floor PT in the first place, is just how it can tie in, how it's like so intertwined in so many things, but that something like low back pain, how it can like present, you know, in the back, but the pelvic floor is a culprit, and posture and all these other things like factor in with it and for it. But the other thing too that I feel like is always a little surprising, or maybe something I didn't think of at first when I started treating pelvic floor, is just how much like daily habits or other factors can affect it, like our gut health, you know, what we're eating and drinking, certain inflammatory causing foods or things like that, and how that can really also factor in and make such a big difference too. So like I said, pelvic floor is just like so intertwined, and like the main hub of everything.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. It's like a puzzle that you're kind of constantly trying to figure out which puzzle piece is the one that I need to address first, or what's the main problem leading to the other problems. It's fun.
Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like people have asked me a lot, like, how did you get into pelvic floor? Like, why pelvic floor? It's such a specialized area. There's not many of us out there. Look, what made you pick pelvic floor? So, Megan, why did you pick pelvic floor PT?
I feel like that's exactly why I like it, because there aren't many people that do it. It's so specific. It's something that, like you said, we didn't learn about a ton in PT school, and I love learning new things, and it's like a new challenge to learn something so specific, but I love it, and I love the patient population, and I think that having that knowledge goes a long way in helping my patients, and I find that super rewarding.
Yeah, I would agree with everything Megan said. I would just say too that kind of the age range we're all in is kind of like this childbearing like age group, and even though I don't have kids myself, I just find it incredibly rewarding to work with patients in this population, because I can learn a lot from them as well, and I just enjoy like hearing about people's lives as new moms, or someone who isn't even a mom and they've got other pelvic floor issues they're dealing with, that they thought, well, I thought if I didn't have kids, then how could I have this issue? But that someone like that can still receive help and care that they deserve that has maybe been hard to find elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I totally agree. Like, the quality of life aspect is huge. And I think for me, it kind of said how I just, it like brought it all together. Like, it's like that missing puzzle piece for so many things. And so for me, I always liked it because I felt like it was always challenging. Like, there's so much variation, there's so many differences. And so I just felt like it was maybe a little more like selfishly a more challenging niche to be in for PT, that it would force me to always want to like continue to learn and stay up on research and have challenging patients that forces me to, you know, research and look into things more, not just kind of have like complacency in my job. So I really liked that as well.
Yeah, getting creative and thinking outside the box. And we can use so much of our other orthopedic knowledge in this setting as well. It's not separate from, but totally involved in the treatment of the pelvic floor.
Yeah, it's kind of like the saying, like, you'll be told, like, don't get stuck in the vagina. because even though, like, yes, like, the pelvic floor itself is important, it's, like, all these other areas and things, like, we've kind of talked about that factor in, too.
Yeah.
So the last question that I feel like people ask, or that I feel like I'm telling people a lot, is what is kind of the most common like misconception or almost like bad advice that you feel like people are told?
It sounds like to me one of the main ones is just do Kegels. Just do Kegels.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And so not everyone should be doing Kegels. And starting there is basically like prescribing exercise before you've done an examination, really. So if you are just telling someone, say, as another healthcare provider elsewhere, whether it be nursing, physician, therapist, to do Kegels, and you know you understand your body better than anybody else, and you start doing Kegels, and you're thinking, things get a little bit more aggravated now, or my symptoms have gotten worse. Should I keep pushing through this? Like, will it get better? No, Kegels aren't always the answer. So I'd say, based on my experience, I would say that's probably one of the main ones is the Kegel misconception.
Yeah, I feel like so many things you read on the internet, like, tell you to do Kegels. That's the most common advice to fix everything. And I think, you know, our patients, like, we're all like this. We want to try to fix it ourselves, you know, and sometimes it's hard to want to try to go for help. You think, oh, it's not that bad, or I can do it. I'm just going to try these exercises. And so that's kind of then what happens is, you're just doing Kegels and it's not improving, or potentially even like making the issue worse. And so, yeah, for sure. That's a huge one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was going to say, especially for new moms with a lot of changes in their bodies, there's a misconception that if you just give it time, things will just go back to, you know, whatever this normal is. Things will just go back to normal without doing anything. And for some people, that might be true. They might recover smoothly without issues. But for a lot of people, doing nothing won't resolve their problems. Or they may come back in the future with future pregnancies or even many, many years down the line. And so really seeking treatment earlier can be really helpful. And we have a lot of patients who say, oh, I wish I would have come earlier. I wish I would have come before my last pregnancy or after my last pregnancy. So yeah, I think seeking treatment to resolve those issues as quickly as possible is to everyone's benefit.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because I actually just had this conversation earlier today with a patient, and how, like, I always wonder, how do women function day to day, like, after having kids and not doing anything? Like, I feel like I compare myself to other people where I'm like, I did pelvic floor PT like during pregnancy, I did, you know, PT and rehab exercises after, and, you know, did this exercise progression like we teach so many of our patients, and yet it's still like challenging. You know, I'm almost a year postpartum now, and, you know, still feel so weak, like I can't it's hard to get up off the ground without, like, using my hands. Things like that where I'm not used to that. Like, I can notice, like, these deficits, and I'm always like, how do people that, like, don't do that, they don't have that knowledge, they haven't gotten it anywhere else, like, I feel like, gosh, aren't you struggling day to day? Because, like, I feel like I would be so much worse off without it. But then I've had people that have totally proven me wrong, where I've seen them after baby number 6, and they're, like, I think genetically built to just have kids. Like, I'm convinced that is just, like, that is, yes. They were built for that. Like,
baby it. Making machines.
Yes. Yes. It's crazy. It's totally crazy. I think, too, I feel like we hear it a lot also from women where, and we kind of touched on this, that almost like, it's almost like the thought is that you have to have kids in order to have pelvic floor issues, and if you've never had children, you know, you shouldn't have these issues. And I think even taking that a step further, that you know what, there's a lot of focus right now on, like, pregnancy and postpartum, and I think the pelvic floor PT association as a whole has really done a lot to try to promote that and push for that and, you know, have better education, because in other countries, the care looks very different than what we have here. Mm-hmm. So there's been so much focus on that, but I feel like there's a lot of women that are a little older than that, that may or may not have had kids, that are starting to see these issues, and the thought is kind of like, oh, well, I thought pelvic floor PT is only, like, after you have a baby or something. And so I think that's a common misconception, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's only for these certain things or these certain times of your life. But really, you know, it can help women throughout a whole range of ages and stages of their life. And even none of us here treat pediatric pelvic floor, but there are other therapists that do, so they'll work with kids, and, you know, I've had women in their 90s even, mm-hmm. so there's such a wide range.
Yeah, sure. And everyone has pelvic floors, right? So even mm-hmm. if you're not growing a baby in there or haven't given birth, you still have that anatomy in you, and it can still be affected for a number of reasons. Whether it's like bladder, bowel, sexual dysfunction of any kind. So, yeah, we can help.
Yes. Shameless plug for Revival. Well, awesome. Do you guys have anything else you want to add? Questions? Yeah.
Well, whoever you are, we're looking forward to meeting you and working with you.
Yes. And let your friends know that they also need help if they're telling you any of these misconceptions. Well, awesome. I am going to kind of wrap this up for today, and I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this episode. I hope that you've kind of enjoyed a little bit of that insight into the pelvic floor PT realm, and some of the things that go on in our heads as PTs, that you probably, it's not something we get to talk about often, or these things aren't things that we tend to discuss during patient appointments, things like that. So thanks so much for tuning in, and I hope that you all tune into the next episode of the Revitalized Women Podcast. And if you haven't, make sure that you've subscribed. And if you like what you're listening to, drop us a comment, leave us a review. We would love to hear it. So thanks again, and have a great day, everyone.